Maseches Trumos, Perek Ches, Mishnah Ches, 8:8. The first thing you need to know to understand this Mishnah is that there's a basic machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua regarding the requirements for ensuring that Safek Truma, what the Bartender calls Truma Teluya, I'll explain in a minute, whether one has required to protect that from becoming Tamei. We've discussed a number of times already that the Pasuk says, Nasati, I've given to you Mishmeres Truma Osai, the requirement to protect my Trumos from becoming Tamei. And the word Truma Osai, the way it's pronounced, as it is pronounced, it means my Trumos plural, implying there are two kinds of Truma that must be kept Shamur, guarded from Tumah. That's how Rabbi Eliezer understands it, and he therefore understands the two categories of Truma that must stay Tahor are A, regular Truma Tahora, regular Tahor Truma, and B, Truma that's Suffolk Truma, what the Bartender calls Truma Teluya, Truma that's now, we're not sure whether it is Tamei or Tahor, therefore it's its own separate category, Suffolk Truma, but that too must be kept from becoming Tamei as a separate biblical mandate. That's how the Rabbi Eliezer, the Tana, learns it. Rabbi Yeshua disagrees. Rabbi Yeshua understands that there's only one kind of truma that must be kept tahor, and that's the truma that's regular tahor truma. But suffolk truma does not need to be kept tahor. There's no separate requirement for that. And in fact, keeping your suffolk truma tahor and let it lingering about to ensure no further tuma comes to it, if any came at all in the first time, is actually a potential problem waiting to happen, because you'll end up keeping your truma around, and sooner or later one is liable to inadvertently eat from that truma, and that truma, since it's suffolk truma, it's truma that's suffolk tamei, it's maybe tamei truma. If it is indeed tamei, then it's forbidden to eat that truma. So therefore, Rabbi Yeshua is of the opinion that we don't really want suffolk tamei truma lingering about, and therefore, the sooner you get rid of it, the better. According to him, therefore, since there's no requirement to ensure that suffolk truma, that's suffolk truma tamea, must stay tahor, he is going to encourage in the Mishnah to put it in a way that will expedite it becoming forbidden for sure, and then that will allow you to get rid of it. As for the basis for the machlokas, remember Rabbi Eliezer held that truma osai refers to two kinds of truma. However, according to Bartanura, the Pshat in Rabbi Yeshua is that he holds that when it comes to drashos, he has a principle called yesh aim lemesores. That is to say, there's a machlokas that pervades throughout all the Tanaim, whether the primacy in terms of what one makes a drash on is based on the way a given word is pronounced or the way the word is written in the Torah. Yesh aim lemesores means that there is, aim means mother or primacy, there's primacy to the mesores, the way that the Mesoras and how the words are written, the actual way that the particular characters that are included in the Sefer Torah as it's written down. That's the sheets of Rabbi Yehoshua, says the Bartanura. But Rabbi Eliezer holds Yesh Aim Lemikra, that the primacy comes in terms of drashas from the way in which a word is pronounced. And Trumosai is pronounced two different kinds of Truma. If you actually look in the Pasuk, you'll see that the second vav to make it mosai as opposed to trumasi isn't there. There's no second vav. So the way the word looks like it should be pronounced is trumosi, trumasi, my singular truma that must be protected. You look at yourself, the pasuk's in Banmidbar, Perek Yudches, Pasuk Ches, that's Numbers 18:8. You can see there for yourself that trumosai is spelled trumasi. So Rabbi Yeshua holds trumasi means one kind of truma only, because he holds yesh aim Lemesores, whereas Rabbi Eliezer holds Yesh Aim Lemikra, the way it's pronounced, and therefore there are two kinds of Trumos. So that's the first thing that's the central point of the Mishnah. The second point you need to understand is a side point, but essential to understand the Mishnah, is how a suffix would crop up with respect to, let's say, two different containers of Truma. The word Chavis, which is the Mishnah's choice of words for Chavishel Truma, a barrel, often translated barrel of truma wine, let's say. You have two barrels of wine. A chavis, probably most accurately translated in English, would be an amphora, like an amphora jug. But in any case, we'll go with the conventional barrel for now, more pedestrian and more familiar. So the chavis shel truma, if you have a container, a barrel of truma, shenolad basafek, that had a questionable event happen to it. That is to say, let's say, for example, the bartender's case is you have two barrels of wine, and a dead rat touched one of the barrels, and you don't know which of the two was exposed to the tuma. So the normal rule is that when it comes to sveikos and tuma, uncertain situations regarding the transmission of tuma, there's an overriding rule which governs many of these scenarios, which is safek tuma bershus harabim. If you have a safek that crops up regarding someone's tuma status in a bershus harabim, a place where there is, people circulating, more than two people coming around, then that the din is sveiko tahor. We rule leniently and we assume it to be tahor. We paskin it's tahor. On the other hand, if you have a safek bershus hayachid, question regarding someone's tuma status in a private domain, that means when there's two or fewer people in that area, so then we say safek tuma bershus hayachid sveiko tame. We paskin that it is tame. We decide that in such a scenario that the safek to be, I'll call it stringent for a second, meaning we assume it to be tame. The reason for that is based on a drasha, which is sort of beyond the scope of this right now. It's based on the sota who, she's your classic suffix in the Torah, where the woman, you don't know whether or not she was infidelitous. You just will never know. But there is certainly reglan ledover. There's a basis to believe that she has acted inappropriately because A, her husband already warned her not to be with this given man, and then B, she went and was isolated with him anyways. So now that doesn't look very good. So the Torah says such a woman is tamea, that she is tame, and that's a strange choice of words because she isn't tame. She is now ruled stringently that she becomes forbidden to her husband until they do the whole sota process and trying to, clarify what happened. But the fact that the Torah used the word tamea is learned in Nidrasha to tell you that when it comes to a suffix regarding tuma, if it's in a scenario of privacy, like two people or fewer, that's Rishus HaYachid, and we will rule that it's tame. Whereas if it's in a more public place, so then, like with the Sota, if she were in a public place, she wouldn't have the issue of stira of having been sequestered or isolated with a man, and she would be ruled leniently. So all that said, what that means is, when it comes to a suffix, normally the rule is, if the suffix was born in a public place, regarding Tuma, we will rule that it's Tahor, and in a private place, it's Tame. Public and private, as I described before. We've also seen in the Masechta already that if you use the rules to resolve sveikus in such a way that you're forced to be living a lie, I'll call it, so then we won't go with that. Normally we'd go l'chumra. That is to say, if you have two barrels and that we know for certain that the dead rat touched one of the barrels, so whether it was in a public or private place, to rule the same sock for both barrels is certainly of forcing us to live a lie. That is to say, let's say, for example, as the bartender's case, it happened in a private domain. So we say a private domain would make it rule, it would be ruled tummy. That means we would, if the dead rat touched one of the two barrels, we would treat both barrels as if they were tummy. But the problem is, we'd be living a lie because one barrel for sure is tahor. And when it comes to truma, the funny thing is that it's not clear. There's no such thing as being machmir and makel regarding tuma and tahara. Why? Because to say it's tummy means that the truma has a new din. The din by truma that becomes tame is it has to be destroyed. So if you have to destroy it, that's fine, except the problem is as we're seeing in our Mishnah here, there's a mitzvah to be shomer, to protect truma, and one is forbidden, midoraisa, to destroy truma tahora. It has to be eaten. So you can't have it both ways. If you assume it's tame, you'll have to destroy it. If you assume it's tahor, you have to eat it. Can't have it both ways. Therefore, there's no obvious makel or machmir psak when it comes to safek truma. If you would eat it, maybe that's forbidden. If you would destroy it, maybe that's forbidden. That being the case, you're sort of stuck, and therefore our mission is to consider that case, a case where we can't use the usual rules of safek to resolve the status here. So we have two barrels, both we want to kind of be machmir with, but there's no clear psak of how to be machmer about it. So with that elaborate background, the Mishnah says inside, Chavis shel truma shenolad bas safek tuma. You have a container of truma that had a certain doubt arose regarding its tuma status. Like, for example, the dead rat touched one of the two. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, im haisa munachas b'makom turpa, yanichena b'makom mutzna. Rabbi Eliezer holds that since, you recall, he holds truma osai, means two kinds of truma that need to be shamur, guarded, and the second kind is this very case of truma teluya, of truma that is safik tame. So he says you have to protect it from getting further exposed to tuma, and therefore if the barrels were in a place where they were exposed to potentially becoming tame, because it's an unprotected area, you have to bring them in to a protected area. The actual lashon of the Mishnah is makom turpa. Turpa is a fairly unusual word. It means something like being open for mischief, like available for bad things to happen because it isn't protected properly. So in the context here, it means like hefker. It's in a hefker place. No one's guarding it, and therefore, you know, dead rats, etc., are liable to come reach this barrel quickly. So if that's the case, yanichena b'makom mutzna, you're required by the Torah, because of truma osai, that has to be mishtamer, you have to guard the truma, including truma teluya, you have to bring that truma in from the exposed place to a makom mutzna, an area that's more protected from further tuma exposure. If imhaisa mugula, Rabbi Eliezer holds further that if the barrel of truma was open, as you saw Gili in the previous Mishnayos, and therefore exposed to snakes drinking, etc., you can't leave it that way. Yechasena, you have to cover it so it can't be further exposed and go to waste. You have to protect it. Rabbi Yeshua Mer, just the opposite. Rabbi Yeshua holds, since he holds that the Pasuk says truma osai, but it's written truma si, there's only one kind of truma that needs protection, and that's truma tahora vadai, certainly tahor truma. But truma that's teluya, that's suffic truma, there's no requirement to protect it. And since we're afraid, Rabbi Yeshua is afraid that if you leave it lingering about, sooner or later an accident will happen and people will actually end up eating that truma, which may well be an Isra Doraisa, because it may well be tummy, because the dead rat might have touched it. And therefore, he wants to expedite the process of allowing you to certainly dispose of it. Therefore, we want another dead rat to fall upon it, or a snake to drink from it, or whatever the case may be. And that being the case, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, im haisa munachas b'makom mutzna, if it was in a protected private area, yanichena b'makom turpa, you should leave it out, expose it to mischief, or something bad could happen, and then you could pour it down the drain. Im haisa mechusa, if it was covered, yigalena, open it up. I don't see actually Mefarshim speaking about the gilui, the exposure being for snakes to drink. So it's not perfectly clear to me if that's exactly the thrust of the Mishnah or not, but I would think it is. If not, it means expose it so that Tuma can get to it. And that will expedite the process and allow you to get rid of this suffix Truma ASAP. Rabbi Gamliel has a middle shita, and he holds, Al yichadesh badavar, don't do anything. Just sit on your hands, and don't move it anywhere, or cover it, or uncover it, because he realizes, although he agrees with Rabbi Yeshua that there's no requirement to protect it, since there's certainly the possibility that really it's tahor, and you'd be doing something bad by expediting its getting tummy, that's a no-no, and therefore he says, do nothing, sit on your hands, and shev valtase, and eventually, once it gets exposed to tuma, then you can dispose of it, and the halacha follows Rabban Gamliel.